Thank you for being here early on the last morning. The nice thing about going last is many people have set the stage for you. So I'm just going to talk about how this study was different from the earlier ones, and I feel like you've had a good introduction to the food package change and to the WIC program. I shortened my title for the purpose of the slide and called it Intentions Fulfilled. And I'm going to be showing you that this research validates basically what the others have said, that participants both were excited about the change and planned to make changes as a result of these package change, and in fact, they actually did. So we didn't do these surveys specifically to evaluate the impact of the food packages. We obtained permission from USDA to do the initial survey in 2007 because we needed to know what participants were likely to buy or less likely to buy when the changes happened so that we could formulate our food package policy changes appropriately. And that was basically our excuse to do the before baseline data. But our purpose was to develop our policies, to measure how participants were going to accept the changes, and then, of course, we planned to do an after to compare the intention to change with actual behavior change later. So we conducted two surveys, and the way ours was different from the NEFP study is in two respects. First of all, we only did two times, one before and an after, in 2007, well before the changes were implemented, and we just finished the data collection about a month ago, which is why the data I'm going to be showing you is not weighted based on the number of participants speaking each language. A couple of the graphs are going to look a little off as a result of that, and those of you that understand statistics can appreciate that. I'm also only going to be talking about cow's milk, fruits and vegetables, and whole grains. There's much more data on soy products and baby food to come later, so I like Karen, we'll plan on being back next year to talk about the data. So in 2010, we went back and did another survey regarding people's opinions about the changes and their actual behavior. Here's another map of California. All the little dots show where all our 650 offices are, and we did not use all of them, but it was a statistically selected random sample in both metropolitan, micropolitan, which I will define because it was new for me. It's a county in the state, we have 58, that has at least one town with a population of 10,000 or more. So if you have lots of towns but they're less than 10,000, you're still rural. If you have one town, but if you have two towns over 10,000, then you're already urban. So unlike the phone surveys used in the other studies, this study relied on people going into the WIC office and asking people to spend about 15 or 20 minutes more time interviewing them face-to-face in the language they spoke. So we consider this methodology of collecting data to be highly reliable. If people were confused about the questions, you can, you know, ask again, clarify some things. They also had photographs showing foods, so that participants were clear about what we were talking about whole grain and fresh versus frozen and so on. These were university students trained in conducting the survey, fluent in the language of the interview, and we supplied them with cell phones, laptops with air cards, and they basically sent the information directly into the centralized database so we could get the data and start analyzing it really quick. We interviewed Vietnamese and Chinese participants, oversampled, because we were most interested in these, as well as African-American participants with infants. This is a breakdown of the survey population based on language. And from our earlier speakers, you'll understand that in California, the vast majority of our participants are comfortable speaking Spanish. Vast majority, like 65%, but you can see why we oversampled these other languages. So our first conclusion, you can tell I'm operating very fast. This was the 2007 information about participants' intent to purchase fruits and vegetables. So this is pretty an easy question. I'm starting with the easy stuff. So the question is like, if WIC gives you a check to purchase fruits and vegetables, will you use it? Will you buy fruits and vegetables? And as you might suspect, about 100% in all four languages said, sure, I'll be willing to do that. Sounds good. And the good news is, now, what this is, and this is very tricky, and they're not all perfectly matched, but what we've done is to overlay in a darker color the actual behavior over the lighter color, which shows the intention. And you can barely see some light colored bar lines up there, because we got like 97, 98% people actually used the check. So this was very good. But keep in mind, this is the easy thing. WIC is giving you something that it didn't give you before. And it's something that we know people like. And once they have the ability to purchase, not surprisingly, they go ahead and do it. The outcome for whole grain was a little bit more complicated, because in 2007 we asked, if we give you a coupon for brown rice, corn tortillas, whole grain bread, or oatmeal, what would you buy? What would your preferences be? And what we have here shows you the four languages in order of priority, what participants said they would be likely to purchase with their checks. And then I've got some very clever animation here. For the English speakers, everything stayed the same. When they got the check, they pretty much, the 2010 data showed, they bought pretty much in the same order of preference that they said in 2007 they would. The Spanish speakers had a surprising change. They had said they would purchase corn tortillas, but they didn't realize how small the package was going to be. Instead of the usual foot high, it's like 16 ounces. So they chose instead to buy whole wheat bread. So that was one interesting change. Vietnamese speakers also, interestingly, chose to purchase brown rice over oatmeal when the checks actually came out, as a change from what they said they would do. Chinese speakers basically kept their intentions and their behavior the same. I know, cute. Okay, now I got a lot to share about milk. And the reason I'm not using that darling background that Sharon had with the California WIC logo, which is our official slide design, is because this was too good to use with all the milk slides I'm going to show you. So what you have here is the intention. And so again, the question is, in 2007, if we only give you checks for low-fat milk, what will you buy? And you may be surprised to see that the dark blue there still represents whole milk. So what you need to understand is those were the participants, and there were some who said, you give me checks only for low-fat milk, and remember, in California, this is including 2%. Nothing doing. I'm going out and buying whole milk with my own money. Thank you very much. But the good news was the vast majority said they would be willing to make the shift from whole milk to low-fat milk, or that they were already purchasing it. The very right hand, the lightest one, is a combination of 1% and skim, because those numbers were small enough to cause us to put them together. So the next slide is going to show you the overlay. Okay, adjust your eyes to all the colors. In 2010, you can see the very dark blue was actual purchase of whole grains by language. So you can see that the actual behavior, and this was already discussed by an earlier speaker, did not precisely match the stated intentions. Almost 20% of English speakers, for example, actually went out and continued to purchase whole milk with their own money. What is important to notice is that, notwithstanding the intention to buy more low-fat milk and the fact that less lower-fat milk was actually purchased, is the actual increase in the amount of lower-fat milks purchased. So across all four languages, and the stars show statistically significant, are Vietnamese very low-fat. Again, these are very small numbers, so a small one or two people not doing something is going to change those percentages a lot. But overall, you can see that intentions were predictive of behavior, although when you're asking them to change a behavior, that's a little tougher to do. So here is a simple but two showing the difference in actual consumption between 2007 and 2010 in the four languages. And just, if you're a big picture person like me and don't want to delve into numbers, basically just look at the amount of very dark blue on the left, and then look at the amount of very dark blue on the right, and the corresponding jump in the size of the medium dark, and you'll see that we really did make a pretty significant change in participants' purchasing habits. This is for themselves, and statistically significant. Here's another presentation of the change in whole fat dropped lower fat milks went up between the two survey samples. It was, okay, now this is for the children. So I'm gonna go through these more quickly because they mirror intent to purchase for oneself. Again, whole milk, actual behavior, people had trouble with it, they stuck with it, but overall low fat milk consumption went up by a statistically significant amount. And here again is your comparison between 2007 and 2010. Pretty significant drop in the purchase of low fat milk. And again, I want to remind you, this is not just with WIC checks. The question is framed, what will you purchase for your family? A really weird graph. Keep in mind, there were like 8 Chinese speakers. I'm exaggerating a bit, but even one person changing is going to make that bar graph go way up. So when this data becomes weighted, it'll be even more interesting. Okay, so we can say from this that intentions are a good predictor of actual behavior with some caveat. The easiest change to make is one where you weren't able to do something before because of access issues, and now you have a check, an ability to go and purchase, and that one's easy. Intentions, when they're revised, when you're taking something away and replacing it with something, that was a little less predictive in terms of magnitude, but not in the fact that there's behavior change. So we did get behavior change results, and we know that lifestyle changes are challenging for families, so we can continue to do our promotion and our education, but it's working. Let's keep it up, and thanks to all of you in the community and other organizations that partner with us in making this effective. We will include more data on the other products in future talks. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much to our wonderful panel. I learned a lot. I thought it was terrific. If there are any questions for any of our panelists, this would be the time to ask. Anybody have any questions? Yes.
In the corner store one, I noticed that after the change, a lot of the non-mixed stores actually sold less of the healthy food. And I'm wondering what the explanation was for that. Is there just less available?
The question is, in the non-WIC stores, that the availability of healthy food decreased in many of the stores. There's not an incentive for it, I mean, to be quite honest. And the numbers were fairly small. A lot of the numbers were fairly flat or just slightly going down. So I don't think it was a dramatic drop. I think maybe flipping it the other way of just looking at how much the WIC policy change had an impact on increasing the availability.
Katie, yeah, I missed the very beginning of your presentation, so you might have covered this, but to what extent did the small stores actually advertise externally that they were WIC stores or that they stocked products for WIC?
I think in Connecticut they have to. A lot of stores would say WIC EBT outside, and then within the stores, they do label on the shelving WIC certified, WIC approved. Not all of them. We did measure that, but most of them did.
Just in the back.
I want to thank the panel for the excellent work that you're doing. I think it's just so important to have this kind of information both at the state and federal level. So, of course, I just want to thank you. For the last speaker, I have to admit that I was a little bit confused at the end. You use terms like purchase versus consumption, and I was just wondering whether you were using those, you were interchanging those, or whether you were talking about a different data set in terms of the terminology that you were using, going from purchase to consumption.
No, it's really purchasing in terms of, we did not ask people what they actually ate in the home, we asked what they were purchasing with their food dollars, whether WIC check or their own money.
So that the difference was really from their intent, always.
Yes,
from
the intent to actual purchase.
That they actually did purchase. Did you look at, or are you able to look at the voucher redemption data, or are you using EBT cards?
No, unfortunately, in California, we're not that advanced. And we do have retention data. We haven't done the work yet. As I said, we just got this data out barely in time for this talk. But we will be looking at redemption.
The milk data, it was very interesting. Hopefully, we can move them along the curve from the 2% down to
91%
in the future.
Absolutely.
So, again, congratulations.
It's been a wonderful before and after experiment. I think I want to congratulate anybody anywhere in the country that managed to do something before and after these changes, because it's been a huge national policy change. It's like a natural experiment on half the babies in the country, not to mention the kids and moms. So I'm really grateful to everybody that did studies.
Can I respond to that comment?
Sure, absolutely.
I just wanted to add and respond to that comment. I think California is probably going to be different, and if you do look at your redemption data, you probably will see higher redemptions of your cash value vouchers because fruit and vegetables are so plentiful there. In another research project I'm working on, we have looked at redemption of CVVs in Wisconsin, and we were finding that 23% of participants aren't using them at all. And actually, I think another 40% were only using part of the value of that voucher. And just having talked to other WIC programs, I think that is not an uncommon trend. So I think looking at redemption numbers are important too.
Yeah, I think that if you do that, it would be important to look at not just what they're doing now, but what they did before too.
And we have that. Yeah.
Yeah. Was never used 100%.
Right.
So it's important to look at that, and I think hopefully it was an increase.
Right.
Yes.
For any of the studies that involve how you include availability indices at the small store level, did you include a potato as a fresh vegetable?
No.
No.
Good question.
Good question.
Yes.
What was the answer?
No.
Oh,
across
no.
the board. The IOM study determined that American children get enough potato, and the potato board, you know, really tried to get that interim rule, the regulation changed, but so far they've been unsuccessful. The final rule, by the way, is still in FNS, so I guess there's a possibility that that stricture could change. It is confusing, for example, when you've got frozen mixed vegetables and they have these little teeny tiny potatoes, and we have to tell people, you know, it's not a lot. It's confusing in the store.
Yeah.
But philosophically, I have to support that.
But I will also say that almost 100% of our stores carry fresh potatoes.
Yes. Yes.
You know, they all have them. We just didn't count them in our tally.
Yes.
I'm WIC naive, so I probably have a bunch of questions. I don't know what INFS or EBT is. My question is on the slide that talked about breastfeeding exclusivity, that 21% said they felt encouraged by WIC with formula feeding. And I have a question and a comment. One is it possible that of the people who can't or won't or whatever it is breastfeed, that they still felt supported by WIC for formula feeding, that maybe that was a good indicator as opposed to a bad indicator? And my follow-up to that is, do you see clients often enough to be, can you say or create pressure to exclusively breastfeed? Do you have enough lactation support to help moms who are struggling to accomplish it?
Respond first. Excellent points and excellent questions, and we'll continue to look at the data for your first question. For the second question, the very policy changes are resulting in a structural change within the WIC program, because you're having more and more women breastfeeding and more women needing what we call a peer counselor, and then therefore you need more lactation consultants. So the policy change, at least in our organization, is going to drive more support.
So, but currently, don't WIC clients come in like once a month or something?
We do have them coming in monthly, but we have phone contact with them also. So that's another way that we can have the interaction.
So the other policy change is that it was accompanying the food package change. We've increased, in California, we've increased our peer counseling programs from 15 to 50 5-0. We require an IBCLC as part of that breastfeeding peer counselor, and a lot of programs have them anyway.
What's the acronym?
Internationally Certified Breastfeeding Lactation Consultant. Sorry. EBT stands for Electronic Benefits Transfer. That's a card instead of a paper check. And FNS is Food and Nutrition Service. That's the branch of USDA that oversees the WIC program. We also pay for liaisons to work in hospitals to bridge that. We see them in the 8 to 9 months of pregnancy and then again a few days after birth, but what happens in the hospital is really critical. So we're forming partnerships in the community to work with hospitals to improve their practices. So it needs to be a continuum.
Yes. Karen, I was wanting to be clear on your slide that I think it was October 2009 when you saw the big jump. That was participation of the program, or was it self-reported breastfeeding?
That was selection of the food package.
Selection of the package.
Correct, okay. Correct.
Yes.
Yeah, so clearly you don't have to be receiving WICs to shop at these WIC certified stores. So I'm wondering if anybody is starting to look at the diets of non-WIC shoppers who are maybe benefiting from the change.
That's a good question.
Anecdotally, that some of our stores that were catering just to WIC participants are now serving the whole neighborhood with fresh produce, but it's just anecdotal so far.
Yes. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm from Massachusetts, and we've had some anecdotal stories that the WIC participants are lying and telling people that they are using formula so they can get formula, but they really aren't. And they're saying, don't tell my doctor or whatever. So I don't know if you're hearing that.
You know, we hear anecdotally as well about WIC formula being sold on eBay or Craigslist. I did a survey of the Sacramento area Craigslist myself, and 90% of the cans of formula were the cans that are not authorized in California. And of the cans that were, they were a size that are not authorized in California. So I think there's a lot of, quote, urban legends. I mean, I'm willing to admit that there's probably a WIC participant or two who's taken formula she doesn't need to try to resell it. I am not willing to concede that it's in any degree anything that is of widespread or significant.
It wasn't to sell it, it was to have it just in case as a backup.
Sure.
Sure, yeah. Did you have a question here?
Yes, I have a question for Dr. Whaley. So you mentioned actually dietary intake. I'm just wondering how y'all
measure. Reported intake. So for fruits and vegetables, we actually did also measure how many fruits and vegetables they ate. Remind you, this is a 20-minute phone survey, so we would have loved to have done an extensive food frequency survey, but we couldn't do that. So for the fruit and vegetable measures, I actually didn't put that in the slides. We did see a significant increase in actual fruit and vegetable number of servings after the checks came in. But the other data we're showing is reported intake compared to 6 months prior. So are you eating more than you were 6 months ago, more or less, or the same? But it's actually intake, not purchase.
Right.
Thanks for the question.
Okay, hold on 1 second. Go ahead.
Oh, I just wanted to say before everyone left, obviously you're all here because you're interested in these changes to the food package. And my organization, Altarum Institute, in partnership with the National WIC Association, the Association of State and Territorial Public Health Nutrition Directors, and Healthy Eating Research from Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, are sponsoring an event in DC on November 30th. It's a full day event to focus on evaluations of the WIC food package. You'll be hearing some of this research presented there, but much, much more. And it's really an opportunity to bring research from across the country and policymakers together to discuss what to do and what does all of this research tell us. So if you're interested, I have some information about that event.
Great. Yes, sir?
I have a comment relative to the previous question about the person from Massachusetts, which is we have a multi-site research project in 7 states, and we look at WIC participation among mothers of babies under the age of 3. And we find that immigrant mothers our SNAP participation is very, very low for obvious reasons, but WIC participation is very high, about 82%. And so there are possibilities that you can imagine in which the formula is being taken for valid nutritional reasons that may not fit exactly into the distribution paradigm that the government prefers.
In the back.
For the people who did the retail stuff, did you look at SNAP participation in those stores? I'm assuming that those WIC stores were also SNAP authorized stores. And did you observe anything regarding SNAP participants regarding the accessibility and content? Especially if that's a real opportunity that bringing these WIC foods into these corner stores or providing an improvement access for the entire community, including SNAP and other low income individuals.
Almost all of our stores are SNAP certified. They take food stamps, EBT, SNAP. We keep changing the names. But
I just want to anecdotally whether the store owners report.
We collected baseline data on customers asking about what they typically purchase in the corner stores. We were hoping to track this longitudinally also, and our population is so transient that we had really low response rates over time to track the same people. From the baseline, we're working on analyzing this data of how it seemed that more people were using their food stamps in the corner stores than WIC, and it's perhaps that they can use part of their food stamp benefit versus with WIC, you have to use your full benefit in the store. So about half of those who receive WIC were using it in the corner store specifically. I think more of the SNAP participants were using in the corner stores, but I don't have a lot of the data on all of the types of food that they were buying.
Yeah, likewise, many of the stores we went into were also SNAP authorized. And just anecdotally from talking to vendors one-on-one a lot, we would be there wanting to talk about WIC, and they would inevitably turn the conversation to SNAP. And I think their positive outlook on WIC is really also a reflection of sometimes their negative thoughts about SNAP and what's purchased with those benefits. So it wasn't something that we were really looking for, and I can't speak to whether that changed pre to post, but it was something we heard often from vendors, their perspective on the foods purchased by each program participant.
Okay, last question.
Hi, I'm from Philadelphia WIC program, and we have a lot of corner stores with our WIC participants. One of the things that we are interested in looking at is the availability and variety of baked foods in the corner stores. Mm-hmm. Have you looked at that?
We did not look at that, no.
And we didn't either. Our study was initially to evaluate this community-based project, and they weren't really focusing on baby food.
Yeah, and again, even though we didn't look specifically for that or ask about it, when we would talk to vendors and they would bring up challenges, there were lots of challenges related to carrying baby food, and that's probably all I can say about that.
I have to say that in general, I think baby foods were by and large overlooked. Mm-hmm. I could say more on that, but it's kind of there. We're giving out a lot of it.
Yeah. They were concerned about shelf space.
Yes.
Yeah.
We heard a lot about formula too, and again, it wasn't something we continued to pursue. But
you have the food truck to work with, so unfortunately.
Yes.
Well, thank you for coming, and thank the presenters. They were wonderful. Thank you very much.